This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Open to cooperation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, October 10. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump, for the first time, is hinting that he might be open to cooperating with the impeachment inquiry by House Democrats, but he has two conditions.
Today is day two of rolling blackouts for parts of 34 counties in California as a giant utility company tries to keep its power lines from sparking wildfires.
A heavily armed gunman killed two people outside a synagogue in Germany after failing to get inside, where dozens were marking Yom Kippur.
And how our changing preferences for snack bars keeps food makers guessing.
Some of them have whole fruits and nuts. Some of them have ancient grains, all these trendy things. And they are starting to crowd out the traditional crunchy granola bars and cereal bars that have been around for decades.
Reporter Annie Gasparo with the Wall Street Journal on shifting trends for snack bars. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump, for the first time, is indicating he might cooperate with the impeachment inquiry if a couple of things happen. One, if the investigation was authorized by a House vote, and two, if Democrats commit to following rules he deems as fair. His remarks yesterday came one day after the White House said the inquiry was unconstitutional. A letter followed a decision from the White House to block testimony of a key witness in the investigation.
What is bad is when you see all of the elements, when you see that Schiff saw the whistleblower, when you see what the whistleblower said about the phone call, and it was totally different. He made it up. And I don't know why a person that defrauds the American public should be protected.
The president now seems to have put pressure on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to respond as the two leaders battle over how to proceed. Democrats are investigating Mr. Trump's effort to have Ukraine probe former Vice President Joe Biden and other election-related matters. Mr. Trump has denied wrongdoing. The majority of Americans say that President Trump's actions regarding Ukraine are a serious matter and merit an impeachment inquiry by Congress, but a plurality says that based on what they know now, the president should not be removed from office. Aaron Zitner, polling editor at the Wall Street Journal, has been combing through some new data, which also includes what Americans are saying about Joe Biden these days. Aaron, what are we learning?
This is the first time we've tested attitudes toward impeachment since the news broke about the president allegedly trying to pressure Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. We've asked about impeachment during the Mueller probe and found kind of very, very tepid support for that, and a majority saying Congress should not do anything during the Mueller probe. Congress should not hold an impeachment inquiry and should not move to impeach the president. That's what we had, about 50% saying that. This poll paints a different picture and suggests that the public is viewing the Ukraine situation differently than Mueller and is listening, is paying attention, and is open to information. We asked about impeachment several different ways. The most helpful one is probably the one where we asked kind of a three-part question. Do you think that there's enough evidence now already for Congress to impeach? And about a quarter of people in the poll said, yeah, they've heard enough that they're ready to say lawmakers should impeach the president and remove him from office. Then about 31% said Congress should hold an impeachment inquiry with an eye toward whether there's enough evidence to impeach the president and remove him from office. So between those two, you have 55% of Americans saying either impeach now or yes, hold an investigation in case you can find evidence of impeachment. And then you have 40%, just under 40%, 39% saying no. There's not enough evidence for Congress to move forward. Congress should do nothing. It should let the president finish his term. And what I'd like to point out is the 40% who say no, don't do anything, there's not enough evidence evidence here. That is a lower share than who said so during Mueller.
This might not have been part of the questioning, but is there any feel as to why the sentiment seems different now than from Mueller?
Well, we asked people this question. We asked, is this a serious matter that merits investigation, or is this just more of the same kind of politically motivated attacks that we see? And a slim majority, 51%, said, no, this is serious. 44%, these are politically motivated attacks. And, of course, Democrats are going to side against the president, and Republicans are going to side with the president. In this case, we have independents saying, no, this is serious, and this merits investigation. The independents who, you know, there are many kinds of swing voters, but independents can make the difference in elections, given that the two parties are so dug in on their own sides. They're not ready. Independents are not ready to impeach. Not that they'll ever get there. They're not saying impeach, but they are saying this is serious and we should investigate. And that gives a majority, independents plus Democrats, saying we should look into this. And that's a stronger sentiment than we saw during the Mueller investigation.
We're speaking with Aaron Zitner, polling editor at the Wall Street Journal. They've got some new data, part of a survey they've done with NBC News. You know, I always wonder, too, about how this stuff sits with the average voter or observer. And if it wasn't Ukraine, if people would feel differently. Like, what if you substituted all those questions with Canada or, you know, Bermuda or something along those lines? Is there an association of, you know, something nefarious because it's Ukraine, which is, you know, in some ways tied to Russia?
Well, the Mueller investigation was about Russia, and we had the whole intelligence community saying that Russia intervened in the election, and Ukraine is an ally. And a nation that we're, you know, trying to protect from Russia. So I don't know whether it's the Ukraine part of this or the Joe Biden part of this, or just people have heard information through what the White House has put out from the transcript of that call and other things that the Democrats have put out through the beginning of their investigation and have said, no, this is meaningful to them. They're seeing the way the president uses his office and they're forming a judgment about this.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Zitner, polling editor at the Wall Street Journal. The survey found that Americans hold a less favorable view of Joe Biden than in recent years. The change occurred before he became part of news reports regarding the administration's alleged efforts to promote a probe of his son's activity in Ukraine during the time Mr. Biden was vice president. The Turkish military has begun its offensive in Syria to seize territory held by Kurdish forces who are supported by the U.S. That's forced President Trump to newly defend his decision to shift U.S. troops out of the area, effectively paving the way for the launch of the assault.
I think we're doing a great job. I think the people of this country, I campaigned on ending the endless wars. We're all over the world fighting wars. Half the places, nobody even knows what they're doing over there.
The Turkish aggression came in the face of warnings from Washington that it would punish Turkey if it attacked the Kurdish militants, who have been allies of the U.S. in the fight against ISIS in northeastern Syria. The Kurdish militias have vowed to defend their semi-autonomous region, which borders Turkey. Turkey says it has two goals. One, drive armed Kurdish groups it views as terrorists back from its border, and two, create a safe zone to relocate millions of Syrians who have fled the 8-year civil war. This is Turkey's third offensive in Syria since 2016. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. I'm now more efficient with my time thanks to Zapier, which automatically transcribes my data-filled emails into a spreadsheet or CRM. Zapier is the easiest way to automate your work. They support more than 1,500 business applications, which allows Zapier to connect all of your business software and will free you to focus on what matters most. See for yourself and go to my special link, zapier.com/Gordon. Connect the apps you use most and let Zapier take it from there. Zapier lets you instantly engage with leads, send them to a CRM or spreadsheet that notifies your team fast. You can build the exact solution you need in minutes without writing code or asking a developer for help. Join the over 4.5 million people that use Zapier to save an average of 40 hours per month. Right now, through November, try Zapier for free by going to our special link, zapier.com/Gordon. That's zapier.com/Gordon for your free 14-day trial. Zapier.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Pacific Gas and Electric, or PG&E, is trying to keep its power lines from sparking wildfires. The company began shutting off power in phases early yesterday to about 500,000 customers in the northern and central parts of the state, including sections of the San Francisco Bay Area. A second wave began in the afternoon. Sumeet Singh is a vice president with PG&E.
This is not a decision that we take lightly. And we thank our customers and our communities for your patience.
The so-called public safety power shutdown comes as high winds coupled with low humidity created ideal conditions for what PG&E called potentially disastrous wildfires. Napa County resident Tom Rossi.
They want to jack us around with all this power outage and all this other crap they've got.
More than 80 people were killed last year in one such blaze, which was named the Camp Fire. It was one of several highly destructive fires that burned hundreds of thousands of acres in Northern California in 2017 and 2018. The company, by the way, could be on the hook for up to $18 billion in financial damages. This portion of the program is brought to you by LightStream. We talk about interest rates in the news every day, but the rates that really impact your day-to-day life are the ones on your credit card. I know I get stressed out when it comes to the high-interest credit card bills, but there is a way out. Pay off your credit card balances and save money with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at LightStream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's a lot lower than the over 20% national average rate. Apply online, even on your phone, and get the money as early as the day you apply. Are you among those who believe that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience? Well, so does LightStream. So that's what they deliver. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to LightStream.com/deal. That's LightStream, LightStream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/deal for more information. Again, LightStream.com/deal. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, the Turkish military offensive in Syria to seize territory held by U.S.-backed Kurdish forces is drawing rare Republican rebukes at President Trump, who is defending his decision to shift U.S. troops out of the area, despite concerns Kurds won't be able to guard ISIS prisoners while fighting the Turks.
In addition, the Kurds are watching, and if the Kurds don't watch, then Turkey's going to watch because they don't want those people out any more than we do.
Trump repeated his vow to wipe out Turkey's economy if Turkish President Erdogan wipes out the Kurds. German authorities have a suspect in custody in yesterday's shooting that killed at least two people in the eastern German city of Halle. Police and witnesses say shots were fired outside a synagogue as Jews observed Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. CNBC reports the shooting was live-streamed to the Amazon-owned video streaming site Twitch for 35 minutes before it was pulled down. An Arizona elected official is facing dozens of charges in three states for allegedly smuggling more than 40 women into the U.S. in a multi-million dollar adoption scheme. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich.
What we've alleged and what we've discovered is that this adoption fraud schemes involves pregnant women from the Marshall Islands being flown to the state of Arizona to have their babies put up for adoption.
Adoption lawyer and Maricopa County assessor Paul Peterson is accused of running the smuggling ring that allegedly promised the women money in exchange for their babies. Hall of Fame basketball coach Jim Calhoun's been accused of sexual discrimination by a former associate athletic director at Division III University of St. Joseph in Connecticut, where Calhoun now works. Jacqueline Piscatelli's lawsuit in U.S. District Court alleges she was fired after complaining about the conduct of men in the athletic department. Former Today Show anchor Matt Lauer is pushing back against former NBC News employee Brooke Neville's accusation that he raped her while they were both on assignment at the Sochi Olympics. Lauer maintains their encounters were mutual and completely consensual. Neville's accounts detailed in Catch and Kill, a book by Ronan Farrow. You know the expression, and pigs can fly? Well, we haven't seen them fly yet, but it turns out they can use tools. A team of French researchers found the evidence by accident while visiting a Parisian zoo during nesting season, and they saw female pigs using bark and sticks to dig out their nesting areas. They went back to study the behavior for the next 3 years to confirm that only at that time a pig will dig with tools.
Nice. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. As Americans grab for more snack bars, the biggest brands are getting overlooked. Sales are falling for Nature Valley bars and Special K bars, while snack bar sales are rising overall. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Annie Gasparo. What do we have?
Some of them have whole fruit and nuts. Some of them have ancient grains, all these trendy things. And they are starting to crowd out the traditional crunchy granola bars and cereal bars that have been around for decades.
Is this a marketing problem or a taste problem? What's going on here?
This is largely related to diet trends. When some of these bars were created, they were designed to adhere to the low-fat diets of the 90s, and now we're in more of a low-carb, high-protein craze, as well as an effort to have simple ingredients. So the diet changes and the eating habits changing is what has backed these brands into a corner. And what's interesting about that is that these snack bars in general are so popular right now because they're a great grab-and-go food.
Yeah, so what bars are we eating today that are popular instead of the likes of, what'd you mention, Nature Valley bars or Special K bars?
RX Bar is a date and egg white protein bar, and that has done really well. Sales were up about 18% in the last year. And Kind Bars, they have done well in recent years with the fruit and nuts in them, but you can kind of see these whole ingredients, and it resonates with people that are trying to have, you know, little to no added sugar and simple ingredients.
Wow. We're speaking with Annie Gasparo, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got an interesting piece entitled "Changing Snack Appetites Leave Granola Bars Behind." I thought this was also of note because you said this happened like with Greek yogurt. It happened with veggie burgers when Beyond Meat came along. How do these things happen or materialize?
Really, the trend is based on the broader diet trends. But when you have the big food companies trying to lead the way, they aren't in tune enough with the consumers, and they aren't capturing the trends early enough. So that's how we end up with the startups really leading the way.
Thanks, Annie. Annie Gasparo at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending part of your Thursday with us. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump hints he might cooperate with the impeachment inquiry. Day two of rolling blackouts in California as a wildfire preventative. Up to 2 feet of snow possible in the north central U.S. over the next few days. Bloomberg says a Chinese tariff increase set for next week could be suspended. High-level talks continue today between Washington and Beijing. Nationals and Cardinals advance to the NLCS. Rays and Astros in a deciding Game 5 today. And the dog missing for 4 years, who's been found 400 miles away. That reunion story in about 20 minutes. President Trump is targeting House Democrats who are conducting a formal impeachment inquiry over the Ukraine whistleblower scandal in tweets accusing them of treason. You may recall that on Sunday, he asked for the impeachment of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, the one spearheading the Trump impeachment investigation, over concerns that he improperly pressured Ukraine's president to investigate political rival Joe Biden. But can a member of Congress be impeached? We're joined now by Jeanine Santucci, breaking political news reporter from USA Today. Jeanine, set the scene.
They are leading the impeachment inquiry against Donald Trump. And of course, he doesn't like that very much. And in several tweets and public statements, he's accused them of treason, of high crimes, and recently has called for their impeachment, along with Utah Senator Mitt Romney, who has sort of split with his Republican Party on the impeachment opinion.
So there are some semantics, though, here, right? I mean, although he has called for their impeachment, that's not technically how you remove somebody who holds an elected office.
Right. So impeachment can't be used against a member of Congress. By law and by the provision of the Constitution, a member of Congress can be expelled from office, and that requires a two-thirds vote from their respective house of, or body of Congress. And they can't be impeached. Impeachment is a power that's reserved against the president, the vice president, or a civil officer. So that means an appointed official or a judge.
So you mentioned expelling. There can also be censure, which doesn't require the two-thirds, right? Is that a simple majority from either house?
Yes, censure is a simple majority vote, but it doesn't actually result in very much actionable punishment for a member of Congress. What it basically means is that that body votes to condemn whatever that Congress member has done or said. It doesn't result in their removal from office.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jeanine Santucci, breaking politics reporter for USA Today. Her piece is called "Can Members of Congress Be Impeached?" Because you may have heard that President Trump has called for Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and even Mitt Romney to be impeached. Has removal of a member of Congress ever been tried? I know you walked through that. Explain a little bit of history there.
Yeah, the history of this is interesting. There have been 20 successful removals of a member of Congress, 15 in the Senate and 5 in the House of Representatives. Most of those were related to infractions that occurred during the Civil War period. So the vast majority of those, actually. Now, historically, the question about whether a Congress member can be impeached has come up once, and that was in 1797, and a senator was brought forward by the House of Representatives for impeachment, and the Senate actually voted to dismiss that. The reason include that they didn't think that a member of Congress could be impeached based on the definition of civil officer, and he had already also been expelled, so it was kind of a moot point by that point. The most recent time that a member of Congress was removed from office was in 2002, so this hasn't happened in well over a decade.
I know you referenced, too, that a House Republican wants to censure Adam Schiff, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. House Intelligence Committee for this reenactment of the phone call he did. But as the minority party, that's not likely going to happen or even come up, right?
That's right. So Andy Biggs, who's an Arizona representative, he introduced a motion to censure Adam Schiff. Basically, Schiff, what he did was before Congress, he read out an exaggerated version of Donald Trump's phone call with the Ukraine president, much to the disapproval of Trump and Republicans who consider that to be, you know, lying before Congress. Schiff himself has just said what he was doing was a parody. I think the main point here is that, you know, what the language that Trump's using is not legally correct. You know, these people can't be impeached from office. And it's also very highly unlikely that they will be removed based on the standards that it requires to remove them.
Thanks, Jeanine. Jeanine Santucci, breaking political news reporter from USA Today. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us, and welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it was bound to happen eventually. With the frequency that President Trump uses the term fake news, it's now been added to the Oxford English Dictionary. The OED made the announcement that it was adding the term to its October update. And although we know the term was popularized during the run-up to the 2016 presidential election and continues to be a favorite phrase of the president 3 years later, the dictionary notes that the term was first used back in 1890 in the Milwaukee Daily Journal, and they found another use in 1917 before it made a comeback in 2010. The OED also says that the widespread use of fake news has contributed to the increased usage of other fake words like fakeable, fakement, and fakeness. Other words that made the cut this go-round include slam dunk and promposal.
All right.
I think we sort of buried the headline there, that promposal actually also made this list.
Yeah.
I can actually see fake news over promposal at this point.
Right. And is there a statute of limitations?
What do you mean?
Like, these words have been around, like slam dunk?
Yeah, that seems maybe strange the,
maybe
as
the,
well.
Maybe the newest, newer use of it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like,
rather than a
talking about
term.
Yeah, talking about like we do something or, you know, we're going to do something because it's a slam dunk. Yeah. It makes sense.
Still.
You know, kind of another use for that.
Oxford English Dictionary seems really slow to respond to these.
Well, yeah, especially since, you know, 1890 was the first use of fake news.
Promposal. I mean, these things have, I mean, viral videos made promposal a thing 4 years ago.
Yes.
Where you been? And by the way, OED, you're calling the Oxford English Dictionary
OED. That's what they call themselves on Twitter. They're at OED on Twitter.
This is a thing.
Look, I can't say Oxford English Dictionary that many times when early in the morning.
When you sit down with your kids and you're helping them with homework, do you say, you know what, let's check the OED? No, you just check the dictionary, comes up first.
I'm sure we will in the future.
The OED.
And we know, Gordon, that Philadelphia sports fans have had reason to be relatively pleased recently. What with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl less than 2 years ago, the Sixers poised to be an NBA title contender, and the Phillies landing the biggest free agent fish in Bryce Harper before the baseball season. The NHL's Flyers, unfortunately, have not kept up, finishing 16 points out of a playoff spot last season. So, for fans who can't deal with the prospect of finishing behind Pittsburgh in the Metropolitan Division again, the team has created what it's calling a disassembly room, where fans can pay to expel their rage by smashing a TV and other items with a sledgehammer, hockey stick, or whatever else you have available. According to ESPN, access to the rage room at the team's home arena costs $35 for one person, or $60 if you want to team up with another disgruntled fan. Fans can drop in for a spontaneous rage session, or you can go online to reserve your time slot.
Wow. So this is the Flyers themselves offering this to fans of their team who are angry with their team.
Yes, in their arena during home games.
Right. That is strange, I guess.
This is the same team that brought us Gritty, the mascot, though.
Right.
So they like to think slightly outside the box.
Do you have to bring your own appliance to smash it?
It looks like they provide stuff.
Okay.
From what I can tell, that's probably what the fee goes to, is that they provide items for you to smash.
Okay. Because in order to maximize... I wouldn't want to bring, for example, a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
To me, that would do too much damage in one swing.
Right.
If I'm angry, I want a hockey stick. It's nice and light. Like I could swing it over and over again at a television or a computer or something and really maximize. Because for $35, I don't...
You want to get your money's worth for the money you're showing.
I don't want my arms exhausted after 30 seconds of swinging a sledgehammer.
Go home and take a nap afterwards. Understood.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
I never get sick. Never taken a sick day. I'm not going to let a little thing like 100-degree fever stop my business. You know what really makes me sick? Downtime. You know the cure to downtime? Grainger. With same-day pickup, next-day delivery options, and time-saving inventory solutions, Grainger keeps our facility running and fit as a fiddle. Some people go to the doctor. I go to America's trusted source for industrial supplies. Because Grainger's got my back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. New research finds that young adults with depression may help reduce their symptoms by eating a healthier diet with fruits and vegetables rather than sticking to a diet with processed foods. But not everyone is convinced that a healthy diet can act as a full-fledged depression treatment. Indeed, one expert told Live Science that scientists still can't say whether eating fruits and veggies helps improve depressive symptoms any more than a dummy pill or a placebo intended to do nothing at all. Studies have long linked healthy diets, especially those rich in fruits, vegetables, fish, and whole grains, with a reduced risk of depression, according to a 2013 review in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. However, although existing data suggests there is some connection between poor dietary habits and depression, it's unclear whether there is a cause-effect relationship between the two. In other words, past research offers no evidence that healthy eating can reverse depressive symptoms. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Turkey is continuing its assault in Syria to push Kurdish forces away from the Turkish border. This follows President Trump's decision to withdraw American support from the area where Kurdish troops have been instrumental in combating the Islamic State. The president defended the decision again, reminding reporters Turks and Kurds have been fighting each other for centuries, and the Kurds weren't our allies in World War II.
They didn't help us in the Second World War. They didn't help us with Normandy.
But Mr. Trump repeated his vow to obliterate Turkey's economy if it tries to wipe out the Kurds. Pacific Gas and Electric says power restoration could start this afternoon across parts of the San Francisco Bay Area that had electricity shut off yesterday because of windy weather that raised the region's wildfire threat. Vice President of Asset and Risk Management, Sumit Singh.
The Public Safety Power Shutoff Program is part of our comprehensive, multifaceted approach to risk reduction measures that we are implementing as it pertains to the unprecedented wildfire risk that our state is facing.
Crews will have to inspect every inch of their power lines and infrastructure, and depending on the extent of damage from the hot, high winds, power could be off in some areas till Monday or Tuesday. The same system producing the critical to extreme fire weather threats from the central and southern Rockies to California could bring up to 2 feet of snow to eastern Washington, Montana, Colorado, the Dakotas, Minnesota, and northern Wisconsin. The unusually large, early, and intense fall snowstorm won't completely clear some areas until Saturday. For the first time, former VP Joe Biden is calling for President Trump's impeachment. It comes before the fourth Democratic presidential debate, where Trump's potential impeachment is expected to be a big topic. Days after Bernie Sanders suffered a heart attack on the campaign trail, another shock to his family, his daughter-in-law, Renee Riggs, passed away, diagnosed with neuroendocrine cancer just last week. What to do with old Legos when the kids outgrow them? Send them back. Lego Replay is a new program that will provide free mailing labels to customers who want to turn in old Lego bricks, which the company will clean up and donate to after-school programs that need them.
That's pretty cool.
And you don't have to step on them anymore.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Puncture your foot with some gaping wound, right?
Decorate the air with vocabulary.
Yes. Yes. I had zero creativity. I like Legos, but I would just like stack 20 at a time and be like, hey, look what I made. Like I couldn't actually build things.
Hashtag goals. That's good. A tower.
Should have repeated kindergarten. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. A dog that went missing from a Northern California home was found 4 years later and more than 400 miles away. The Riverside County Department of Animal Services said an 8-year-old German Shepherd named Kimber was found wandering loose by a member of the public in Fontana. Kimber's owner was identified as a man from Grass Valley, more than 400 miles away. The man who drove down to Fontana to pick up Kimber from the shelter said he does not know how the dog managed to travel so far or where the dog has been for the past 4 years. The reunion was captured on video. It's unclear how Kimber went missing or how he ended up in Fontana. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.